Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is a podcast where we talk about queer women in film, inclusively defined.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! And today we are talking about the 2020 adaptation of a 2018 short film called Shiva Baby, which was directed by Emma Seligman. And starring Rachel Sonnet, Molly Gordon, and a bunch of other people, including Diana Agron.
Yes.
So I was like watching this and I was like, how do I know her? And then I found out when I looked up who the cast was.
Gwennifer Bray.
Yeah.
From Glee.
Yes.
Also Bear. We did a movie with her in it.
Oh, we did?
Apparently.
What's Bear? We did a movie called Bear.
Did we?
I don't know.
Oh my god. That'd be so funny if I was just like, it's just a movie I've seen.
It's very possible we covered it.
I will fact check that later.
Okay.
But that's so freaking funny.
Quick editor's note here. Yeah, I fact checked that and we've never done Bear. I don't know what I was thinking.
I also recognized Molly Gordon. Do you know her?
She was one of those people where I was like, she looks super familiar. Yeah. I feel like I know her from somewhere, and she's from Booksmart.
Yes, and also Theater Camp. Have you seen Theater Camp?
No, I haven't.
That movie is a delight, and she plays a character named Rebecca Diane, and it is so funny.
What a mouthful.
Yeah. Anyway, this movie is I saw it described as like a symphony in stress, and it's like a tight just over an hour, and it takes place pretty much in one location over the course of just some hours, and it is very stressful, claustrophobic.
Oh my gosh. I felt like I was having a panic attack.
Yeah. Well, I think because the main character is basically having a panic attack the entire time.
Like, real bad.
Yeah.
Rachel Sonnet is also in Bottoms. Have you seen that yet?
No, not yet. I want to see
Me it. Either.
Oh, okay. I really want
And to me too. And Bodies, 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 which I also haven't seen.
Neither, but I'm less interested in that one because I can't do the scaries.
Oh, is it a scary film?
Isn't it a horror movie?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's either a horror movie or a sexy time movie.
I think it's a horror movie.
Because, like, you don't really refer to bodies, I guess. I guess.
Well, maybe, honestly, it's probably both, but someone will have to tell us. Because we're not going to watch it. Or at least I won't.
Yeah, I will. I'll do it for you.
Okay,
yeah, I feel like this cast is awesome and they all play their parts really well in creating the panic attack.
Yeah.
For Danielle, Rachel plays. The character's name Rachel. Sorry, not character. The character's name Danielle.
Yes.
Like her parents. Oh my gosh. The tension between them is like so rough. Yeah. Like that's how it kind of starts. It's just like, or at least like when she gets to the Shiva is like, that's how she's like, I feel like agitated right away because she has her parents who are constantly fighting with each other. Well, really the mom saying terrible things to the dad.
I know, the dad's kind of funny. I feel like he's the one source of comic relief in this, or like levity. Not comic relief, but levity. So I keep wanting to call her Rachel. Danielle has this sugar daddy named Max, and the movie opens where they're having sex, and she's like a college student. She must be like 20.
Yeah.
And then he like gives her some money and she rushes off to this Shiva to meet her parents. And like, maybe I wasn't paying attention, but do we know who died? It was just somebody she doesn't know, right?
It's like yeah, I don't even remember, but it's basically like a friend of the family.
And while she's there, it's like, the extended community of Jewish people, everybody is there, including her ex-girlfriend, Maya. And that's Molly Gordon's character. And also including Max for some reason.
Yeah, so apparently, like, he has, I mean, I assume this community is quite insular wherever they live. I wasn't quite clear. And Max even worked for Danielle's dad in the past, and it's just like it becomes very like incestuous very quickly. And super awkward. But Danielle's doesn't really like back away from it. In fact, she's like angered by it and wants to challenge it even more. I feel like she digs herself in these huge holes.
Well, because she, the mom reveals that Max is married, which is something that Danielle didn't know. And
No,
the wife
she
is
did not.
there. That's Diana Agron. And they have a baby.
Who screams?
Who screams? Yes, before we started recording, we were just talking about screaming babies that have colic.
Yes.
So it's on theme.
And how like disarming and crazy making it can make you feel to like just hear a screaming baby, even if you love that baby so much.
Especially if you love that baby, I feel like.
Especially, yeah, probably, especially if you love that baby. So hearing that in the soundscape of this film is just like so alarming. It's bad
I
in a
know.
good way.
Danielle is kind of like, she's kind of living off of a lot of her parents' money and then some of the money that she gets from Max. And she's like studying women's studies in college, and her mom really wants her. She's trying to use this Shiva as like an opportunity to like introduce her to people who could get her jobs.
Yeah, she's absolutely networking for her
Yeah, she's
daughter.
totally networking. And Danielle is not very interested, but it is, I found it kind of funny how like she was like trying to explain her women's studies major, whereas like meanwhile her ex-girlfriend Maya is like going to law school and like checking all those boxes of like the prestigious job and prestigious education, and just like comparing the two and how they're comparing to each other and how the other people in the room are comparing them. And there was one part where the dad, Danielle's dad, or she says, why are you checking my account so much? And the dad's like, because it's our money, because it's our accounts. That's why. Was so funny.
This movie had so many great pieces of dialogue. It's also extremely fast-paced. Like there's so many times where I wanted to, or I did, pause the film and try to write it down, but then like something else so funny would happen right after it that I was just like, I feel like I'm going to write down half of this script. And and it was just as you said, those like some of the funniest parts were where they're comparing the two and they're talking about the gender studies thing, degree, and people are like, no, she made up her own degree. Just like, but it's like in a bad way. You could tell they don't think it's cool or like, nouveau. They're just like, that's shameful. Basically, like she couldn't do something normal. She had to go like make her own. And one of the funny things was his her dad goes, well, you can't make feminism a career. And she goes, feminism is not my career, it's a lens.
I love that part.
And she's like, she snaps out of it for a moment to just be like, to say something, actually with actual like I don't know. Teeth, yes,
Yeah.
that's a good word for it. Because she's mostly like in a daze, I feel like, the
Yeah.
whole film.
I feel like the finding out that Max is married and then like basically being hustled into his entire family unit really threw her for a loop. And that's what sets off this anxiety of this entire movie.
Yeah. Like, first, it was just she sees Maya and she's like, oh, shit. Like, I'm gonna see my ex here. Like, that's really annoying. But yeah, it really heightens it when she sees Max, finds out he's married, finds out he has a kid. And then, not to, even though this is spoiler filled anyway, not to spoil it too much, but the wife finds out, Kim, who is Max's wife, played by Diana Agron, finds out. And she finds out because, one, Danielle's acting super weird. And two, she has a matching bracelet that Kim, clocks pretty quickly and is like, where'd you get that? And Danielle has to make up this lie, and Kim knows for sure that there's no way it could have been replicated or, whatever it may be.
I also feel like that's such a man thing to do, to just like, or like, I don't know. I don't want to say men, but just like
Not
the specific type of shitty cis man that Max is. Like
man.
that is so typical. It's like you're just like buying the same expensive things for like your women. It's so fucked.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that first interaction with them, where Danielle's basically asking for payment. She's doesn't say, where's my money? But she says, did you forget or did you remember? Something like that. And Max is like, oh yeah. And he was already like giving his goodbyes to her. Like, he basically wasn't going to pay her. So he gives her money, but then he also gives her this bracelet. And it's like, I'm sure she would do fine without the bracelet. She doesn't want that. But I think it shows this, like, well, I don't really know what it's like to be a sugar baby, but and I know that, like, there are, gifts. Well, I guess it's not just like monetary value or monetary gifts. There's also like physical gifts. So, like, I guess that checks out, but yeah, it's just weird. Like you said, it seems to be very skeezy to give your wife the same present that you're giving your mistress, sugar baby, whatever.
He's kind of a skeezy guy.
For real. Well, that's like part of why I'm like, why does Danielle care so
I
much?
thought that too. Like,
He's so gross.
I feel like I couldn't really buy, especially as someone who's like a gender studies major, like it was hard to believe that she, although now that I say that, like the heart wants what it wants, I guess. You can't really control it. But like it just seemed silly that she cared that much about him. Like it seemed like their relationship was always kind of transactional. And like
Yeah, it makes me think, like, why? I was just surprised that she was so surprised
me
that
too.
he was married and had a kid. But maybe this is her first real sugar baby experience, or like long time experience.
She's really young, so I mean, I guess
Yeah, she
it's
is
definitely
very
believable
young.
in that
So it's
sense.
like, I did want a little bit more of that, of like explaining why she's so invested in Max, because he's like disgusting. And and like, I don't know, if I were a sugar baby and I found out that my sugar daddy was married and had kids but lied to me about it, I'd be like, oh yeah, that checks out though.
Yeah,
Like,
totally. Like, yeah,
I
that
don't
makes
know if you would
sense.
really tell me the truth about anything.
Yeah.
Because
It seems like
this
they've
is a
never actually
transactional
talked about
relationship.
their lives. Like,
Yeah, and it's a very transactional relationship. So it's like, I don't know.
Well,
So
she's got
that.
Maya right there, and Maya's like, oh, I miss you. And it's like, why
Yeah.
don't you just go hang out with her? She's actually your age, and like,
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
there's clearly a lot to this, like Danielle's character that we don't know, and why she's like, why she feels like she needs to go after Max.
Yeah.
And it's like, is she just trying to, I don't know, like get back at him for being a liar? But like, I don't know, why does she care?
I think maybe it goes through some like levels for her or some different layers of, because I think like her initial reaction is kind of like shock and maybe hurt. And then I think it maybe becomes a little more vengeful as the movie goes on.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think super vengeful. But yeah, I guess I just don't understand why.
Yeah.
But during the film, like, I honestly didn't question it.
No, me either. Yeah.
So
It's
it's
just
one of
my
those
initial,
things.
like, oh, why are you so shocked right now?
Like, it honestly didn't hit me until we were just talking. That I was like, wait, why does she care?
Yeah.
Like, because I guess that says great stuff about the film itself, where it's just
Yeah.
like, it really like reels you in to like this person's struggle.
Yes.
And just like, oh my God, I can't, like, it's hard to explain by just talking about it
Yeah.
how like arresting I felt, like even talking about it, like I'm getting a tight chest and like just,
Yeah.
it's crazy.
Well, there's so much cringy shit happening, like saying so many embarrassing things and just like everybody's behaving in an embarrassing way. It's not just her. And like the way that like what's her Kim, Max's wife, the way that Kim and Danielle, they both know what's going on,
Yeah. They know
but they
something's
don't
up.
say anything. They just like weirdly one up each other in like strange ways.
Yeah,
And
why is everyone one-upping each
I
other
know it's like hard
all the
to
time?
watch.
I don't know. I guess like this must be like within this group of people. I don't know if it's like Jewish culture or what, or you know,
Don't think so.
I've seen it in some like higher, oh God, like kind of like upper crust,
Yeah.
like higher society, like kind of keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing, like, oh well, my daughter is blah 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 blah
Yeah.
blah, and it's like, who cares? Like,
Yeah.
I don't
Totally.
even care about what you're doing right now. Like,
Yeah. I feel like
and
it's sort of like a capitalist, patriarchal, like
sure, yeah.
framework that kind of guides all of that, and it just manifests in different ways. But
Yeah. And yeah, I think just for this group of people, there's this like weird animosity
yeah.
between everyone and needing to be better than the person next to you, which is just
I think
such a
maybe
bizarre.
it's bizarre, but I think it also happens really easily in like close-knit communities because there's like everybody kind of knows each other's business. And sometimes that's not bad, but like sometimes it is, I think. And especially like this is, basically a funeral. And so that probably is influencing people's behavior too, because like somebody died.
Yeah. Emotions, right? Emotions.
Emotions.
It's a very charged film. And even if you don't know the person who died very well, like you're still feeding or aware of the emotions of everyone else around you and how tense things are. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's a good point. I liked in the beginning where Danielle sees Max and her mom goes, "No funny business."
Oh
Oh,
yeah.
no. Wait, no, she sees Maya and she says, "No funny
Oh,
business with Maya." And then she's like, "I'm very open-minded."
right. That's a good impression.
And she's like, "You're not in our house, you're on our payroll."
Yeah.
And just kind of like when Danielle is basically saying like, I don't live with you. You can't control what I
Yeah.
do."
Yeah.
And she's like, "No, but come on, girl."
Yeah.
And then the same thing happens when she does see Max too. She's like, something's up with these two. I don't know what it is, but she's basically like, no funny business with him either. And she's like, oh my God, mom, like, I'm not gonna go blow him in the bathroom. It's interesting when, so like Maya and Danielle see each other right before they go into the Shiva from across the street, and they're just like, yeah, they look at each other and they're like, okay, whatever. But their interaction at the Shiva at the buffet table is so weird. And it's just like, but it sets it up to be like how emotionally charged it is. Like Maya gets in Danielle's face at like the buffet table while she's trying to get a bagel, and she says hi. But the way she does it, she just like stands next to her and stares at, gives her like a side eye stare. And then Danielle is just like, I don't know, putting like schmear on her bagel. And then Maya's like, hi, and like puts her head in, like all like very aggressive, like her face in her face, so aggressive. And it's just like, oh my God, this is so dramatic. And I love her. Maya goes, you can't just show up to the after party of a Shiva.
Gosh.
And the like chemistry between them is really good. I love how fast paced their talking is. I mean, everyone like this, like I said before, the movie is very fast paced. There's a lot of very like awkward, quick interactions with people that are just like, oh my God, this is like a whirlwind. But it doesn't work well. Like, that's only like written dialogue. It doesn't work well unless it's like actually like delivered well, which I think both Rachel and Molly do really well interacting and delivering that
I agree.
to
Yeah,
each
it's
other.
almost like like they're really comfortable with each other. And yeah, like you said, they have good chemistry. This is such a weird comparison, but it's almost like Rory and Lorelai.
No, yeah, I
Don't
got
know, like
huge Gilmore Girl vibes from this film just because of like how witty the dialogue is, how fast-paced it is. And it's really like a whirlwind. Like that show, I don't know, how long were the episodes? Not very long. But like,
I feel like they were 40 minutes or something, 45
yeah, but I
minutes.
can imagine getting that script and it being like 120 pages,
Yeah, totally.
and it would just be like so fast. Even though I know technically it's supposed to be a page per minute, whatever.
Oh, I didn't know
But
that. I've never
I feel
thought
like
about
I'm just supposed to be
that before.
like stacked with
I know. I bet the
dialogue.
script for this movie was also pretty long, despite the movie itself being pretty short.
Yeah, I
It's just
believe
a lot
it.
of dialogue. But
So much
I
dialogue.
really liked the part where Maya sort of figures out that something's going on between Danielle and Max. She's like, oh, well, he's like asking how they know each other, and she's like, oh, well, excuse me, we went to prom together. And he's like, oh, I bet you had a great prom. And she's like, yeah, I gave her her first orgasm.
And she says it so loud in the middle of like a funeral. It's just like,
So funny.
I feel like you two had a really fun prom.
You bet that we did, yeah. I know, we like had a limo.
Yeah, I expect the punch, you know, like puking everywhere, like mugging by.
And we like fucked. She had her first orgasm. What? It was a night to remember. Oh, sorry, Mort.
Hey, Mort, how are you? Okay.
Yeah, it's so awkward. Just
Everything is
like,
really awkward.
but like so good too. Like,
All the
I'm glad
actors
I
really
was.
kind of nailed it, I think, with the
Yeah, I'm
awkward.
glad I wasn't there.
Me
Just like,
too.
it's so fun to watch. Yeah, there's just so many great lines. I wrote down so many. There's like this one real the fleeting interaction between funeral attendee and or Shiva attendee and Danielle, and he just goes, is there an open window or a fan inside there? Just like in the bathroom, and I was like, what the fuck?
She's like,
Oh
I could
yeah.
have gone upstairs or something. Or no, that's
Yeah.
a different part where someone was looking for the bathroom. They were looking for
Oh
another
yeah.
bathroom. And she's like, there's one upstairs. And she's like, oh, forget
Oh, forget it.
it.
And that was after, actually, that line is right after Danielle takes a topless photo of herself. She takes a
Right.
nude in the bathroom of the dead
Oh my
person.
God.
And presumably we don't see it on screen, but she sends it to Max, which we do see later.
Oh
And
yeah,
that
she
becomes
loses
an
her
important
phone in the
part.
bathroom. She leaves her phone in the bathroom.
Yeah, so that becomes an important part because she leaves her phone in the bathroom and, you know, she is found out eventually as having this concrete connection to Max. And also being a sugar baby. She's on this like app called Sugar where she, you know, offers her services. The music in this film is really
Oh
cool
yeah.
too.
It's like horror movie music almost.
Yes, it
Like
really is.
it really adds to the stress level.
Yeah, I was reading an article through Coastal House Media by Andrew Corpin or Carpin. I can't read my own handwriting. And Ariel Marx did the music for this film. But the writer says the soundtrack is full of tightly wound strings, a la the score for Midsommar.
Oh yeah.
Which I also haven't seen. Sorry
Me
to a lot
either,
of
but I feel like
your.
I know about it enough
Yeah,
to get that
exactly.
vibe.
Plus, it's like, yeah, that is this hoary. So, yeah. So I feel like I know enough, and I knew enough to know that there's a lot of those like kind of screeching, violin-esque like sounds in it, just like this film. But especially when it's paired with the crying baby is just so genius, and because it's so unsettling. What was it? A Symphony in Claustrophobia? Is
Yeah,
that
it
what
was
it
a
was
Vulture
called?
article that is titled Shiva Baby is a Symphony in Stress.
And stress. Oh my God. Yes, I feel so claustrophobic in the like watching this because I keep reminding myself like I'm not there. And even like Danielle wants to get out. She's like constantly going out of her way to like just get out of situation. She's like, oh, I'll clean up that little kid's vomit. Don't
Right,
worry about it. And Maya is like a dog with a bone. She just follows Danielle everywhere. And Danielle can't get rid of her. And I love this one interaction. So they're in this like playroom. Danielle's cleaning up. Maya's like, oh, I'll help. All flirty. And Danielle keeps looking over at Kim, Max's wife. And Maya goes, why do you keep looking over there? She's too old for you.
Oh yeah, I love that part. And
Like
then
she's pretty, but too old for you.
I know,
And
and then Jeremy's
Danielle.
like, I don't think she's pretty. And she goes, Malibu Barbie isn't pretty.
Exactly. She's like, okay, she's like the most beautiful person I've ever seen. It's just like she's calling Danielle out on her bullshit. Like she's like objectively beautiful. There's no way you think she's not pretty.
Why do you keep looking over there? Where? At the like skinny blonde woman. I'm not looking at her. Okay, she's very pretty, but she's too old for you. I don't think she's pretty. Malibu Barbie is not pretty. I mean, she's just like basic, you know, like she's just like generic looking. She's like generic pretty. She's
could possibly be the most beautiful person I've ever seen. Seriously?
I just wouldn't be into her, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and there's like an interaction there where I believe it's Maya's mother who's very sensitive to their relationship in the same way that Danielle's mom is sensitive to it. They really don't want it to happen, especially not at a Shiva. And there's this just like one scene where Maya kind of like bends down and she's clearly like flirting with Danielle. But she's also like obscured from her mom's vision. So it kind of looks like they might kiss or they are kissing. And it was just like, her mom was like, get out of here. And she just like pulls her away. And then Danielle's mom comes in and she's like, you are flirting with everyone.
Oh my god.
Her mom's like, you think everyone that is bi is just experimenting?
Yeah. And then at the end, like, I thought it was also really funny at the end when there's like an old woman who is taking a bunch of leftover food to her car on her way home. And Danielle and Maya go to help her. And they're like, where's your car? Like, which one's your car? And she's like, you'll see in a minute. And then they get to the car and they like put stuff in there for her. And she gets in the car to drive away. And Maya's like, doesn't she not have a license? And Danielle's like, yeah, they took it away. And then like, as the car is like screeching and there's a honk in the background, they're just like, whatever, and they just walk away.
There's so many characters in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, not obviously in like the literary sense, just like the everyone's a clown kind of sense.
And it's so silly at the end too, where like they all have to get, like, all the people with the most tension between them have to get in the same car to drive home.
I can literally see this happening, like, yes, in my own life.
Yeah. Because
there are those people that are just, like, so helpful, and they want to be so helpful, but they're overbearingly helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the scene that you're talking about, they're basically, like, they're leaving the Shiva, and Danielle's dad is like, oh, well, I'll just give everyone a ride. Come on in, come on in, come on in. Not realizing that he's invited way more people than are going to fit than there are seats in the car. Yeah. And people are like, no, truly, like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll just get an Uber or Lyft or whatever, or cab, mm-hmm, whatever. And he's like, no, no, no. And he like, they're like, I can't possibly say no again. This guy's gonna die like, if I say no. Yeah. So they all get in there, and it's Danielle, her parents, Maya, her mom, Max, his wife, and daughter.
Yeah.
In this, like, in like totally like illegal.
Yeah, they're just like smushed in there all together.
Operating of a motor vehicle.
Yeah.
Oh my god, there's too many people and definitely not enough car seats.
Yeah. I know. And then the dad is like, oh, we used to drive around. In my day, we didn't have car seats. Everybody survived. And I was thinking, like, no, well, no, not everybody survived.
Not everyone survived. Same thing. They're like, we're all fine. And it's like, yeah, the ones that are alive.
Yeah. Yep.
Another thing too, which I do think this is more like culturally significant to like not just Jewish culture, but also like Italian culture or other cultures, is the emphasis on food.
Yeah.
There's
every culture.
Well, I don't know. Like, well,
I feel like at a funeral, I feel like food is like
true.
Because that's like people, that's how people know how to care for each other, at least in one way.
Yeah, I guess I thought it maybe just in, maybe in my family we're messed up or something. But like my grandma would definitely be like, oh, have you eaten?
Yeah.
But yeah, that everyone is like so obsessed with how much Danielle's eating.
Oh, yeah.
They want to make sure that she's eating enough, which she really isn't. She's not eating enough. She makes like, there's multiple scenes where she like fills up her plate and then puts it back in the dish, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then also just like shoving food in her mouth. And there's like one scene where everyone's like, oh, look, she's eating. Good. She's eating.
Oh my God.
And that's right after Maya and Danielle kiss.
Oh yeah.
So Maya's smoking outside. And Maya's just laughing at the whole situation, says she misses Danielle. Danielle says she misses her too, and
But
they're like,
they're saying it in an angry way, like they're mad
yeah.
at
Yeah. That's a good point. They're
other.
like, cool, yeah, cool. And Maya's like, why don't you just call me? And Danielle's like, well, no one calls, so just like so
She's like,
ridiculous.
I replied to your story, and she's like, nobody replies to a reply on a story. That's psychotic.
It's psychotic.
Okay, I miss you too. Sick. That's awesome. Cool. Great. Awesome. Well, I wouldn't know because you literally never text me.
That is
So.
simply not true. I text you all the time.
I didn't even know you were coming today.
Well, you don't text me either, so I
I
don't.
literally, I replied to your fucking story and you didn't, you just like saw
You do not reply to a reply,
Well, you
okay?
should.
That's psychotic behavior, but that makes sense for you.
Why don't you fucking reach out?
I just told you that I did! I told you that I reached
Okay, well,
out!
why don't you just call me like an adult?
Nobody calls, so.
Well, grow up. Be different than other people.
And I was like, what? There's like apparently a
Weirdo.
lot of unspoken rules that I do not know about.
Same. And you know what? I'm fine with that. I don't need to know.
I don't need to know. I don't need
Good.
social media
I
controlling my
know.
life.
It controls my life enough.
Exactly.
I don't need all these rules.
Oh my God, I just saw another one that says there's all these like I put crunchy close-ups. So at one point
What?
when like at one point when Danielle's like really spiraling, it's like she has tunnel vision looking at these people eating and they're
Oh
like
yeah.
and someone walks in and they're like, so-and-so clogged the toilet and it smells like shit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Insane.
This
And
movie's a
there's
trip.
oh my God, it really is. There's also like this probably what it's like to just be a young woman in American society, but a lot of like back and forth and like juxtapositions. Like her Danielle's mom is constantly like, you're flirting with everyone, stop it. But then she's also trying to set her up with the rabbi. And there's like this, you know, just like weirdness of like you're being too sexual or you're being too like flirtatious, but also I want you to flirt with this guy right here. And of course the eating thing where it's like, you know, we want to make sure she's, you know, looking attractive, but you know, and not eating too much, but also making sure that she's fed, and not being rude by not eating, right? It's just like crazy. I can see why it's crazy making for Danielle. But of course she creates a lot of her own crazy.
Yeah, that's true. All of that stuff you were just listing off just made me think of that speech that America Ferrera makes in the Barbie movie.
Yeah,
It's like this
exactly.
and this and this and this, and they all contradict each other, but you have to do them all, and you're not allowed to do these things.
And you have to be grateful. I love that, not to get off task too far, but I love that in Barbie, that's how they deprogram the Barbies. Is she's having to give that speech over and over and over again. Yeah, and there's clearly like a lot of biphobia, bi erasure in this film, especially from Danielle's mom. She's constantly saying like, you're gonna figure it out, you're gonna get a job, you're gonna meet a nice man. Just, you know, all this stuff that's just not ne might not be necessarily true for Danielle. It's one of those things where you're rooting for her like the whole movie in the sense of like, you know, like that friend that just can't get it together. You
Exactly.
like, you hope that she gets it together, but you know it definitely won't be within this time frame.
Not today.
Not today. Yeah, so we talked a little bit about this, but I mean there's so much conflict in this film, but the big one is Danielle leaves her phone in the bathroom. Maya finds it, sees all the notifications from the sugar app, realizes what's happening between her and Max, and gives Max's wife the phone to expose their relationship, to expose her husband, to show that her husband's a creep. And Maya and Danielle fight a bit. Maya calls Danielle a slut, or a whore, or something like that. And it was just not the finest moment.
Nope.
And it really put like a damper on the end when they are all in the car together and they're holding hands. I'm just like, this is such a complicated relationship.
Yeah. Like, you guys probably aren't good for each other.
No, also, they're really not. Are
so young and need to grow up like a lot more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I could see them probably like hooking up again or several times.
Yeah.
Maybe trying to date again, it not working. And then, you know, that's it. But I think that's what it's like to be in your early 20s.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm glad I was never that messy, but I definitely knew people who were.
Yeah. Me too.
So it's not unrealistic.
No. It also doesn't make them bad people. It's just...
No, of course not.
Hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Secondhand embarrassment.
What did you think about the length of the film?
I was so happy about it. I love a short movie. I also feel like... I also feel like it was perfect because it's supposed to be just in this one contained time. It's a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And like with that and the pacing, like we were talking about, it just like puts you in the anxiety.
I agree.
It's really effective. Like, even though it wasn't always the most comfortable thing, I still really enjoyed it. And I thought it was done really well. What did you think?
Yeah. Well, I read this. I liked it. I love a short film, like you, yeah. Like you said. I read this article by Gary Goldstein in the LA Times that said the thematic acuity, loopy vitality, and committed acting doesn't add up enough to its too brief 72 minutes to warrant all the cross-wired mayhem that gets us over the movie's dubious finish line. Hmm. And I was like, okay, I can see where he's coming from. But for me, similar to you, we're saying it's like being with Danielle for that like hour to 72 minutes, however long she's really at the Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're with her for all that agony.
Mm-hmm.
You're like on her shoulder and just like experiencing it all with her and like hating every minute.
Yeah.
But it's also a little tough for me because I'm not sure if like she was truly at the Shiva for just an hour or if it was longer. I feel like it might have been longer. So, like, I don't have a good sense of when the events take place over that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can assume that it was just an hour or a little bit more. But it could have been, like, she could have been there 3 hours. Like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
So, that's something that I was, like...
Yeah.
Just like a small critique, or but it's also like you're in such a whirlwind that like I didn't really notice until I read this, basically.
Yeah. I feel like it doesn't really matter the exact time frame, like it's still a condensed period of time either way, whether it's 1 hour or 3 hours or whatever. And I feel for me it didn't take away from anything that was happening to not know like exact timeline. But yeah, I don't know. I think if this movie had been longer, I would have enjoyed it less. Because, first of all, there's only so much I can take. But also, like, I don't know. Like, if the point is to just be there during this whirlwind, then what else is happening? Like, that, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, unless you're going to make it into, like, a TV series and, like, really develop this character, I feel like it's perfect length.
Yeah, I totally agree, because it's one of those things where I have more questions and I want, you know, there are some parts that I want more of, but it's like, this just wasn't that.
Yeah.
If it explained it more, it wouldn't be what it is.
Yeah, I completely
agree. It would have to be much longer, like you said, because it's not like you could just attack one of these issues and, like, expand that. You gotta keep going. Like, if you're gonna, dive into why Danielle is like so obsessed with Max and why she wants to get revenge, like, you also need to go into like her relationship with both of her parents and Maya and what it's like to be in this community and like, so many different things that it's just like, I don't know.
I agree.
It's not what it is.
I agree. And I think in a way it keeps it interesting. Like a lot of times when stuff gets overexplained, it gets boring. So I like
Yeah,
it how it
absolutely.
is.
There's another article I read, a New York Times article by Jason Bailey, who said the single location and collapse time frame of Seigelman's screenplay give it the efficiency of a well-constructed stage play, which I was like, oh, that makes
Yeah,
sense.
I'll put.
He goes on to say, but Danielle's ordeal is as tense as any thriller, with the strained small talk, copious side eyes, and unapologetic gossip augmented by nervous camera work, jarring sound effects, and a jangling, dissonant musical score, which we've talked about before. I wanted to get more of a like cultural understanding, because I am very familiar with Judaism and its practices, but I'm not a follower of Judaism. So I also wanted to get like a more queer ex like explanation and review from that, because most of the people I assume I looked at, the authors for these articles are cis men, I assume. But so I went to Autostraddle naturally. And there's an article there by Melissa Kravitz Hofner. And in it, they talk about how like the process of Shiva, and basically its requirements. So they write, mourners sit Shiva, that is basically lays around, accept help and comfort from loved ones during the first week of grieving, immediately following a funeral. And sitting is for like spouses, parents, siblings, children. So it actually makes a lot of sense in a way that it wouldn't have been considered weird for Danielle to be like, oh, let me help with that. Because I mean, it benefits her because she just wants to leave, but also it's like customary. They also continue to write, running into an ex at an inopportune moment is very queer. But surely we can do more than bumping elbows at the buffet table and sharing a chaotic kiss during a smoke break to show that representation. And just to kind of go back to our conversation just minutes ago, like, it just isn't that though. Like, this is supposed to be like kind of like a messy girl movie, it's not like sweet, meaningful glances.
No,
And
not at
like
all.
whispered, or like whispered sweet nothings. And like that would be a great film too, but it's just not that. I think it's supposed to be so messy and ridiculous. But they talk about their struggles further, which this part I really liked and could identify with. And they say, I want films to tell a compelling story, ones that are entertaining, escapist, and that straddle the lines between queer and mainstream. I loved how much I disliked Danielle and how different we were despite sharing similar identities. The film served as a reminder of how desperately I want to love everything female and queer. And it is true. Like for me, like that's I definitely feel that way. And sometimes when we're, we watch a film that I desperately wanted to like, and I don't. Or I want it to be a certain way, I have to kind of like remind myself, like, well, it's not that. It's just different. It does not everything has to be rom-com. And for, like, it shouldn't. It
No, it
shouldn't.
really shouldn't.
But I think that's kind of like maybe it's from kind of like when we grew up in the sense of like the kind of representation that was out there when we were teens and young adults was like rom-coms. But now It's more like, let's tell these stories of queer individuals, which is equally as important.
Yeah.
So
I love that. What a great note to end on.
Yeah, so I really liked it, and I would recommend it, like, for final thoughts purposes. I would recommend it if you, just knowing that, like, going into it, that you will get, like, I don't know, emotional blue balls, like, nothing will be explained.
Yeah.
And you gotta be okay with that.
Yeah. But it's not confusing, really. Like, yeah, you get the vibe, and the vibe is the point, and that's enough.
The vibe is the point, and that's enough.
Uh-huh. And I would also recommend this movie. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. So
yeah, me too. It's been something it's a movie that's been on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
But and people have been like, you have to watch this, it's good. And I'm like, and I would read the synopsis and be like, meh.
Yeah.
But it was way better than the synopsis. So
yeah.
I'm definitely here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
Mm-hmm. And if you have any recommendations or thoughts, etc., you can email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
Or follow us on Instagram @galpalswatch. You can message us there too. Yeah, let us know what you think.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. I said it weird. And keep it hella gay.